All right, take your Bibles if you will. Turn over to 2 Kings chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter number 4. Talk about prayer and raising the dead tonight. Prayer and raising the dead. I know what you're thinking. You mean, preacher, if I die, I can be raised to the dead through prayer? No. We're talking about something a little different than that, but I think you'll understand what I'm saying. Prayer and raising the dead, 2 Kings chapter number 4. All right, look at verse number 17. This is a story, very familiar story, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And here is the man of God, Elisha, and he's going to do something that is... hero did, who was Elijah. He's going to raise the dead. Look at verse 17. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. When the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Verse 21. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. All right, now skip down to verse number 28. You get the feeling, what's happening here. This dear lady has her son who has had a big headache or something's happened to his head, perhaps a blood vessel or something, heat stroke, whatever you want, and he dies on his mother's knees, and she puts the young child on the bed of the man of God. Now she's going to go to the man of God. We take it up in verse number 28. Notice what the Bible says. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gehazi is the servant of Elisha, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not, and if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awaked. Verse 32. When Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Look at verse 35. Then he returned and walked to the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. Now I want you to notice here, this child had died, obviously. And Elisha, the man of God, tells his servant what to do. He says, I want you to take the staff here. I want you to put the staff on that child. He says, I want you to go in haste. I don't want you to talk to anybody. This, and by the way, anytime somebody's dead in their sins, I mean, somebody is dead in their sins. There was a time when I was dead in my sins. I was on my way to an eternal lake of fire. When somebody's dead in their sin, it requires haste. And so he tells this servant to go take your staff, put it on that child, and so he gives him the exact instructions. Now, you notice something. That servant did exactly like Elisha told him to do, didn't he? Exactly. But nothing happened. Now, I want you to see, what was the difference? He told him what to do. I imagine that he probably thought the child would come to life, but wait a minute, something's missing here. Gehazi, we don't find any mention of prayer when he did this. He put that staff on that child and did exactly, but there nowhere do we find that he prayed. I think Elisha just took it for granted that he thought that that man would go and not only put that staff on that child, but pray. And he didn't pray. Look at verse number 32. When Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead. Laid upon his bed. So what Gehazi did not affect the child. Verse 33 says, he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain, and, what does it say there, class? And prayed unto the Lord. Now look, if folks are going to get saved, if folks are going to come to Christ, there has to be prayer. You do not, man does not raise the dead but by prayer. It just doesn't happen. Sometimes we'll go around and we'll go soul winning. We won't even pray one lick for that person. And we wonder why God doesn't save them. Look, there has to be prayer. We have to bathe that in prayer. And this is a wonderful story to show us that if we're going to raise the dead, if those that are dead in sin, I'm saved, on the way to hell, don't know for sure they're going to heaven, if they're going to get saved, it requires prayer. All right? Now let's go to the New Testament. You're going to use your Bibles tonight. I hope you don't mind. Look over in Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. We're going to go to another story about somebody being raised from the dead. This is in the New Testament. We'll see if there's any correlation here. Acts chapter number 9. This concerns a young lady by the name of Tabitha. By the way, that's my wife and I named our first child Tabitha from this story. And she didn't like it because some people called her Dorcas, and she hated that name. But, you know, it's better than a witch, amen? And anyway, some of you don't know what about that anyway. I think there was a show called Bewitched, and there was a girl on there named Tabitha. And, you know, all right, verse number 36, Acts chapter 9, look at it, please. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha. I like that. It's a lady, and she's a disciple, amen. Which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him up into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down. What did he do, class? He prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Now notice, here's another instance of a person being raised from the dead. The man of God prays. She has her life restored. I like how he talks to her person to person. He speaks to her directly. Tabitha, arise. So here we have two instances. And the commonality in both of them is that both of the men prayed and God answered the prayer for those folks to be raised from the dead. Now I'll say it again. You and I, if we're going to see folks one to Christ, we're going to have to pray for folks to be saved. We just can't go in our own strength. We have to pray. You have a loved one that's unsaved. You have a friend. You have a coworker. Somebody that is unsaved. You're going to have to pray for them. And if you don't pray, I mean, God's waiting for you to pray. Hey, how many of you know that God wants to see people saved? Raise your hand. Amen. He wants to see people saved. And the way for people to be saved is not only to talk to them, but to pray for them. All right, now, Jesus also raised the dead. But I only find just a little hint of Jesus praying, but Jesus is God. Now, Jesus did something interesting in three people he talked to. He talked to a young girl. He talked to a young man, older man. And then he talked to an adult man. I think Jesus is trying to tell us that it doesn't matter where you are in life, people can be saved no matter what age. Amen. But I want you to see these, so I'm going to have you turn there. And now remember, what's the commonality in both these instances when these people were raised from the dead? What's the word? Prayer. All right, prayer. Remember that. All right, now turn over to Luke chapter number 7. Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 7. I want you to notice how Jesus deals with dead men, raises them to life. Now look, when you read the Bible, there's instruction that God's trying to teach us. What's on the surface is not always what God's trying to teach us. We have to understand, in the Bible, when people, an unsaved person was considered what the Bible calls dead in their trespasses. In other words, look, if you're unsaved, you're not living, you're dead. You have life through Jesus Christ. I'm living today because I have life through Jesus Christ. Life is not just to go out and have fun and get pleasure and make a living, all that. That's wonderful, but life comes through Jesus Christ. And until we get life through Jesus Christ, the Bible says we are dead in our trespasses. What's the word trespass mean? Sin. We're dead in our sins. So we have to get born again, and that born again comes through Jesus Christ, through putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And the only way a person gets born again, they have to realize they're on their way to heaven. That's why a person has to get lost. They have to know that without Christ, they're in serious, serious condition. All right, Luke chapter number 7. Look at verse number 11 as I put on my glasses. And my glasses are pretty foggy, and we'll go with it. Chapter 7, verse 11. Notice what it says. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. Many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. I like that. You know, some things in the Bible we just go right on through, but notice the Lord had compassion on the one that was weeping. And I don't know if there's probably somebody here this week found yourself weeping. Don't you know that God loves you? Huh? Don't you know he cares? If he would care here while he's on earth, don't you know that he knows about your situation and he cares about you in heaven? He has compassion. And he said, weep not, verse 14. And he came and touched the bier, or beer. No, I like bier better. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, now notice what he does. He said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And by the way, when God speaks, things happen. Amen. God says, let there be light, and there was what? Light. I mean, when the word of God is spoken, things happen. And so sometimes we say, well, I've spoken to this person. Look, your labor is not in vain in Jesus Christ. When you talk to somebody about the Lord, you think, oh, nothing happens. Don't you believe it for a second. Something has happened. You may not be able to see it on the outside surface, but something's happening when God's word is spoken. And so he says to this young man, I say unto thee, arise. Now I want you to notice something. He speaks directly to that man. Did you notice that? This man was dead. He doesn't say, well, I hope that person gets taken back to life, or I think we'll take him back to life. No, he says, young man, arise. And what's interesting is the dead people obey Jesus Christ. Why can't the living obey him? All right, there's one instance. All right, look at chapter 8, same book, Luke chapter number 8, verse number 49. Notice what it says. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. When he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out. I've often wondered why he put them all out. I think there was a serious lack of belief on the part of that family. And God can't work in the midst of antagonism and so forth. He puts them all out. And then he says to them, maid, and he put them all out, took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. Again, face to face, person to person, he speaks to the dead person and he says, arise. And that dead hears the voice and that maid, arise. That's a little girl and about 12 years old. And she arises. All right, there's one other instance. Look over in John chapter number 11. But I want you to see now that God, Jesus spoke to people face to face. He spoke to him directly. And that's the best way to talk to people who are unsaved, face to face. John chapter number 11. Look at verse number 41. If you're there, you can say amen. Good, I'm glad you're there. I need to know that you're with me. Verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. Oh, that's good. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. I want you to notice another instance where Jesus talks to somebody that's dead. He talks to him directly, face to face. And he tells them what to do. The dead hear his voice, and he arose. All three instances of Jesus talking to dead people, all three instances, those people coming forth from the dead and coming out and hearing the voice and doing what Jesus said. So what are we to learn from this? We learn from man over in 2 Kings chapter 4 and Acts chapter number 9. We saw that man prayed. When there was a need for somebody to be raised from the dead, they prayed. By the way, they prayed to God. And Jesus is God. You see, it's Jesus that raises the dead. It's not man. And man can't raise anybody that's dead. And man can't win anybody that's unsaved. It's Jesus that does the saving. So you and I have to realize there's power through Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the one that can raise the dead, that can save your family member, your loved one, your co-worker, your friend. Jesus is the one that can save them. But what do I do? You say, well, I feel so helpless, preacher. I talk to them. Okay, keep on praying. Don't give up. By the way, I wouldn't just say, dear God, please save that person. I'd labor in prayer. You ever labor in prayer? Try getting up at the midnight hour and get on your knees and pray for that person. We'll talk about it in future week. There's something about praying in midnight that gets the attention of a loving God. Get out of your comfort zone and go to the house of prayer. Go in your room and get alone and pray for that person that you just are weeping over and crying. They just won't listen. Well, look, I wouldn't quit praying. Because it's not you that's going to see them saved. It's Jesus that will save them. God will use you. Don't misunderstand me. God will use you. But you can't do anything without Christ. Bible says we're co-laborers with God. You and God are a majority. Amen. Now, I think one of the problems we have to understand, why don't we pray for lost souls? Let me give you three reasons I don't think we pray for lost souls. Number one, we don't pray because there's a lack of concern. A lack of concern. Let me ask you something. Do we really believe people that die without asking Christ as their Savior? Do we really believe that they go to hell? And if we do, why don't we talk to them? John 3:18. Listen to the words. He that believeth on him is not condemned. If you're here tonight, you've believed on Christ, you're not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. That means they're waiting the final sentence. They're just waiting for their heart to beat that last time. They're condemned. They're waiting like the person going to their death by way of hanging or the guillotine for capital punishment. They're just waiting for that final time, notice to come, that appointment to come. They're condemned already. Because why? He hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Used to be a famous criminal out in England by the name of Charles Pence. Charles Pence was a great criminal that was convicted of double homicide. He was a burglar and he was convicted of forgery. One day he was on his way for hanging in England, and they called the chaplain, And the chaplain started to walk with him as this man started to make his way towards that and that hanging or the gallows. And he started to talk to him about Christ. He started to plead with him and said, you need to trust Christ. You know, you can exit from this world and go up to heaven and you can do it. He told him about Jesus Christ and how he could go to heaven. That convict, that man that was about to die, he looked at that man, that chaplain, and he said, sir, do you believe that? I sure do. He said, no, sir, do you really believe that? And there was silence. He said, you know, if I really believed that, I would crawl from one end of England to the other end of England on a plate of glass to tell somebody that didn't believe that so they would go to heaven. I would do that in a moment's notice. Do you really believe that? Boy, that'll get your attention. If we really are concerned, won't we do something about telling our friends? So I believe one reason we don't pray for lost souls, we have no concern. Secondly, I think we don't understand or comprehend the value of a soul. Give me this right here, Sean. Let me pose something to you tonight. If I said we're going to have a little, we're going to go look for something, and I said, in the city of Carver, I've hidden a bag of diamonds. It's worth millions of dollars. I've hidden it. I know where it is. We're going to have a little treasure hunt. I said, we have a bag of diamonds out somewhere out in Carver. We also have a bag of rocks. I've hidden a bag of rocks also out in Carver. And we're going to have a treasure hunt. And on the count of three, I'm going to give you a map, and the map is up here, and it'll tell you how to get to the diamonds. And over here is a map, and it'll tell you how to get to the rocks. And on the count of three, I want you to get up out of your seat. I want you to come and get one of those maps and begin your search. First one to find the rocks gets the rocks. First one to find the diamonds gets the diamonds. Are you ready? You understand what I'm saying? All right. Now, how many of you, and when I counted three, one, two, three, how many of you would stand up and you would head towards the diamonds, map for the diamonds instead of the map for the rocks? Raise your hand. Some of you I'm worried about. All right. How many of you would go after the rocks? That's what I thought. That just confirms what I thought about you all along. And the real truth of the matter is you would go for the diamonds because the diamonds are more valuable than the rocks. Amen. All right. Now let me tell you this. How about if I had that same map for diamonds? And over here we switched out the rock and we put over here. And we said, lost soul. They have one day to live. They need somebody to tell them about Jesus. On the count of three, get up out of your seat. Take one of those maps. Where would you go now? Huh? Huh? Is it registering? You see, we would go to what we think is more valuable. And my Bible says the human soul is more valuable than any amount of diamonds in the whole world. Amen. What shall it profit a man if he shall lose his soul? These diamonds are wonderful, but you know when you die, you're not going to take any diamonds with you? That person over there that has one day to live, that person needs somebody to go tell them. You see, we don't pray for people because we don't understand the value of a soul. A soul is worth more than anything in the whole world. Then the third thing we don't pray because we don't have a conviction. I like the story of John Harper. John Harper was a Baptist preacher, and on April 15th, 1912, he found himself on a boat called the Titanic. John Harper, Baptist preacher. He was one that ended up in the water. Of course, many people died. 1,500 people lost their lives that night. And John Harper was in the cold waters of the Atlantic Ocean. And there happened to be a man there, and he would go by, and he would come up, and he would. This man had grabbed a hold of something floating in the water, some debris, and he was hanging on. And John Harper would be swimming along, and then he'd go under, he'd come up. He saw this man over here that was hanging on to this debris, and he said, Sir, is your soul lost? The man, I guess he'd heard something. He said, yes, I think it is. And he'd go away, and he'd go under, and he'd drift away again, and this man would drift away. Finally, he came back, and he said, Sir, is your soul lost? I believe it is. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And he heard him as the howling and the cries for help as people were perishing in the waters. I can just imagine that in hell, people crying out for water and for just to being relieved from torment. Here's this man, a preacher, and he's going about, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going from person to person. Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This man, after he gave a testimony in this church years later, he gave a testimony of that man by the name of John Harper. And he says, John Harper saved my life. He said, I heard him say for the last time as he wandered about in this water, in these cold waters of the Atlantic, I heard him say, I'm going down. No, I'm not going down. I'm going up. And that was the last words he ever heard John Harper say. John Harper had a grasp of knowing that he was right with God, his soul was okay with the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he died, he'd be ushered up into heaven, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Hey, he understood the value of a soul. He understood that he was okay and that others weren't. We must understand the value of a soul. Now, let me give you some, just quickly before we leave tonight, let me give you just three things that we can pray for ourselves as we pray for others that are lost. Look over in Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. Turn there, please. Acts chapter number 4. I need to get there first. Look at verse number 29. First thing we can pray for is the boldness to speak for Christ. Look at verse number 29, please. The Bible says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to notice something. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, look what happens. You don't speak in tongues. Look what happens. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Oh, I got the gift of tongues. I got filled with the Spirit. Well, if you're filled with the Spirit, my Bible says you'll speak the Word of God with boldness. That's what my Bible says. And so one thing you should be praying for lost sinners, you should be praying for boldness to speak for Christ. You say, well, I'm scared. Pray. Well, I don't think I can talk to them. They might get mad. Pray. Pray for boldness, that you may speak the Word of God with boldness. Be filled with the power. So you pray for power. You pray to be filled. And the Bible says what you should be doing is being praying that for so that person gets saved. But you must have boldness to speak it. So number one, boldness to speak for Christ. Number two, look over in Acts chapter number 8. Turn your page there. Acts chapter number 8. Look at verse number 26. Look at verse 26. The Bible says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and they had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, notice, here's the second thing you should be praying for. Pray for guidance and leading by the Holy Spirit to where you should go. Gene Chaka's here tonight. I'd like to use that illustration. Oh, we had a mission here, missionary here, oh, it was a year and a half ago, I guess. And we had talked and we had made a date to go soul winning on a Thursday night. And we prayed, "Dear God, lead us to a place to go." We went down into Plymouth. We went down on Samoset, turned right on Chestnut Street. We parked our car about maybe three or four houses up, and we didn't go down to the end of the street. We just parked our car, and we went to the house directly in front of that car. That car was positioned right at Gene Chaka's house. I came to the door, and I was the first one. As I usually do, I said, "Would you like to talk first or me?" So people don't get mad at me in case that person is ready to be one of the Lord. They can't say, "Oh, yeah, yeah." So you know what I mean. So I said, "Would you like to talk to me?" "Go ahead, preacher." So it was my turn. In fact, it was the first house we knocked on. I knocked on the door. Here comes this man. Comes to the door. And he opens the door right at his doorstep. I start asking him questions, asking him if he goes to church. He talks about the Catholic Church. I said, "Do you know for sure you died, you go to heaven?" "No, I don't." I get out my Bible. I said, "Well, let me show you." He said, "Sure." And I get out my Bible and I begin to show him how to get to heaven when you die. I show him that he's a sinner. Show him that he's lost in sin. And the payment is death and hell. I show him that because that payment of death and hell, Jesus paid that payment by dying on the cross, paid the payment completely. And I told him, I said, "Now, in order to get to heaven, you have to put your faith and trust in Christ. And would you like to do that?" He said, "I would." And I said, "Would you like to call on Christ and ask him to save you?" He said, "I would." And right there at his doorstep, he called on Christ. I believe that was in October of 2005. Is that right, Gene? October of 2005, he called on the Lord. Now, I didn't know it, but here's the remarkable. Weeks later, he tells me the story. He says, "You'll never believe what happened." He said, "That night," he said, "I was on the phone. I was going through a big trouble in my life. I had been on the phone with my son, and we had been talking. My son said to me, 'Dad, you need an angel.'" And he said, "I do need an angel." He said, "Let's pray." He got down on his knees and he was praying. 30 seconds before I knocked on his door, here this man was praying for an angel to come to his door. He had hung up the phone. 30 seconds after he's down on the ground kneeling, the knock comes. "I'm the angel," amen. 6'2", as he says, 240 pounds, amen. I like how I just love it how he slimmed me down a lot. Hey, you know what that was? That was what's called a divine appointment. Here's the Holy Spirit of God seeing a man that needs Jesus Christ. Here's a preacher that wants to go give the Word of God to somebody that needs it. Lord, lead me to somebody that's searching. Lead me to somebody with an open heart. And I go, and this missionary go exactly where God wanted us to go. Amen. How'd that happen? Prayer. Don't tell me there's not a God in heaven. Brother Walker was saying, "Man, preacher, I like your tracks." He said, "You know what?" He said, "I do believe that if somebody read this track," he said, "I believe somebody could get saved just by reading this track." I said, "That's why I have it." He said, "You know, some churches," he said, "don't get me wrong, I don't want to criticize, but all they have is the verses. There's no illustrations." He said, "I think somebody can get saved reading this track." I said, "Brother Kevin, that's because of Acts chapter number 8. We need somebody to guide us. That's the Ethiopian eunuch. That's Philip. That's what we need. Somebody. We don't understand the Word of God." As a young boy, I was searching. I was looking for Christ and how to go to heaven. My grandparents gave me a little book with salvation verses. I didn't understand what it said. What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? I didn't understand. I had to have somebody guide me, and that person was Gloria Robel, who later became, changed her name to a good name, Gloria Feemister, amen. And aren't you ladies happy when you change your name to a really worthwhile name? And she guided me, showed me how to get to heaven. That's because somebody needs somebody to guide them. So number one, we didn't pray for boldness to speak. Number two, we need to pray for guidance. And number three, I just got enough to finish this up. Turn over to chapter 16. Chapter 16, look at verse number 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart, now notice, whose heart the Lord opened that, so that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, all right, stop right there. You know what? You know what we need to pray for? God to open up hearts. You ever spoken to a brick wall? You're not going to get very far. If people got a wall built up, and there's something, it's just, you talk to the most people and you say, I'm from the Baptist church, they're Catholic. Most of them won't even talk to you. That's a miracle of Gene and some of you others that have been saved. A lot of Catholics have a wall built up. They won't even listen to you if you're a Baptist. And the wall is up there. You know what we need? We need God to take that wall, do some work, and take that wall down. How are you going to do it? Prayer. I can't do it. Prayer. And so you pray, dear God, open up that heart that's closed. Open up that heart. Lord, allow that heart to be searching. And you pray that God would open up that heart. Are you doing that? Some of you folks have unsaved loved ones. Are you doing that? Are you praying that God would open up their heart? So three things we're praying for. Number one, we're praying for boldness. Number two, we're praying for the Holy Spirit to lead us to the right person. Number three, we're praying for God to open up the heart of the person. You say, well, I don't do very good at that. I'm reminded of a preacher who'd been teaching on soul winning one day for a number of weeks, and he went back to one of his deacons. He said, John, why don't you go talk to people about Christ? This was during the invitation of a church service. That deacon got all convicted. He said, I will. There happened to be a lawyer that came into the church, sat down on the second row. He said, I will. As soon as he said that, he got up out of his seat, went down to the second row, stood behind, right next to that lawyer that had come there for the first time. He was unsaved. And he looked to the lawyer and he said, sir, do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? He said, you know, I don't really know and I don't really care. And this deacon, he said, well, go to hell then. I don't advise saying that, amen. And he didn't know what to say. That's called not much tact. He left that man and walked back. That pastor, he heard the conversation. He felt horrible. He said, I'll never get that lawyer back in this church again. He went to see that lawyer the next day, and he went to his house, knocked on his door. And that lawyer looked, and wouldn't you know, that lawyer invited that pastor into the house. He couldn't believe it. He thought he was going to just cuss him out or something. He invited him in the house. He said, Pastor, I'm so glad to see you. He said, now listen. He said, John, I want to just tell you about what happened. He said, hold it, Pastor. You know what? He said, I've been thinking about what that blundering fool said to me the other day. He said, you know what that blundering fool said to me yesterday about heaven, going to heaven? It really hit home. And he said, just this morning, I got so under conviction about that, and the fact that he said that and walked back and just left me there, and I didn't know what to do. He said, I just know what you said in your service. I got down on my knees, and I asked Jesus to save me. So the next time you say, well, I just don't know what to say, you know what? God can do abundantly above what you ever think. He's so concerned about seeing people saved. If you pray for boldness, if you pray for going, asking God to lead you, and if you would pray for God to open up hearts, it's no telling what God would do. First, you have to be convicted. You have to have a concern. And you have to know the value of a soul. Let's pray. We're out of time. Father, I pray that you bless us. Dear God, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we realize by reading your word, we realize that those that are dead in sins, those that are without Christ, Lord, not only need us, but they need prayer. And Lord, we understand that only you can save. You spoke to people directly, and I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us. I pray that you'd help each of us to be a prayerful people for those that are on our mind and on our hearts, that without Christ. And I pray that you'd help us to pray. Lord, I can't pray for people. Nobody can pray for me. We're going to have to understand that it's only you that can save, and we need you. And Father, I pray that you'd help our people tonight. Help me tonight. Help us to understand the value of prayer when it comes to leading people to Christ. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's all stand, please.